I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, the Wendy's Big Show.
Yes, it is the Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and the Boy Judgment Day. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. It's also a tribute Tuesday. Fleetwood Mac will be bringing us out of the break after their original guitarist, I don't even remember his name, passed away this last week. And we decided on the show yesterday that we would, since we missed it on Memorial Monday, bring you a tribute Tuesday with Fleetwood Mac bringing us out of the breaks. We'll also be checking in with Seth Everett at 3:35. At 3 o'clock, was Leroy's guy Kobe just low-key putting himself in the LeBron-Michael discussion? Is that what he was doing with that quote that I read on the air yesterday? Because it kind of slipped past me until I read it again after I got off the air. Then I was like, is that what Kobe was doing? I think that's what Kobe was doing.
That it was trying to do.
But we got to start this afternoon off talking about last night's loss to the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, I've got a poll question for
you. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. What do you got?
It just crossed my
mind. This about Teron Liu and Brad Stevens?
Brewers.
Oh, cool.
Just crossed my mind. So today was the Wives Softball Challenge.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I saw that. Yeah, at Health Fair.
Right, and the Brewers Wives won 10-3.
Nice.
Okay.
Cubs aren't in their head.
Hashtag Wives Who Rake. So the poll question should be, who will score more in this series, the Brewers' wives or the Brewers' husbands?
Are the wives playing a whole series? Or?
I don't know.
I think it was just one game.
Right. I don't know if the husbands can match 10 runs in the series. They scored 10
tough.
Runs in a game. They've got two. They need 8 more in the next two to match what they did in one game.
Is this the first time doing that? They've always done that.
No,
I think this is the first time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they're doing it to benefit RBI, which is to help grow the game of baseball in the inner city, putting up parks, providing equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, kudos to both
RBI baseball games, really.
Both the Cubs and the Brewers' wives, kudos to all of you. But we're going to start off.
Any of you girls athletic?
Any of what? My girlfriend?
Yeah, do you think she could play?
I've seen no evidence of it. I'll be quite honest with you.
Man,
I'm just saying. I never played her in a game of one-on-one.
Is this microphone on?
I never took her to a batting cage. I'm just telling you. She's a pretty good golfer.
Hey,
I'll say that. She's a pretty good golfer. What do you mean?
Be careful.
I'm just saying. I don't have...
I don't have the sample size
to honestly answer that.
For that question.
That's the most honest answer I can give.
Need to move in with me, just come on. The code is
36-36. I don't have the sample size to give you the analytics on what kind,
okay,
what kind
Let's
of
move
athlete
on. Let's
my
move
girlfriend
on.
Is.
Let's move on.
She might be very good. I don't know. But we're going to start off this afternoon, this Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day, just handing out judgment right off the bat and asking, who is last night's loss on? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057F. FM the Fan, because emotions are obviously riding high around these parts anytime these two teams meet. And when you lose a game like the Brewers lost last night and those emotions are riding as high as they are, people want to point fingers. And I saw a lot of finger pointing on social media, on Chuck and Winkler this morning. People are upset with Craig Counselor for pulling Junior Guerra out too early, for not pulling Josh Hader early enough, for not leaving Jeremy Jeffers in long enough, for playing Matt Albers at all. People are mad at each one of those guys that I just listed off individually.
There's no reason to ever be mad at Josh Hader at this point. So stop. There's no reason to be mad at Josh Hader.
I agree 100%.
There's no reason to be mad at Jeremy Jeffers. He did a perfect job last night.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of blaming Jeremy Jeffers. There's no reason to blame Jeremy Jeffers. Right. So maybe I misspoke a little bit there. But people are upset and people want to pass around the blame, Sparky. Where is your finger pointing this afternoon after a 7-2 loss in 11 innings last night?
I was mad last night. I texted you and I texted Tim Allen both. When they pulled Garrett 72 pitches, I was hot.
I think that's a good fair amount, though.
I was hot.
I'm a big Junior Garrett. That's enough good sample size.
Because, again, for me, he's going fine. He's giving up one run, five hits. Mm-hmm. Just let him keep going. If he gets a guy on, fine. Gets in trouble in the next inning, then you can go get a Hader. But there was no reason to go get a Hader in the seventh. I know what he's doing. He's doing what he does when he's got the lead. Hader's going to pitch two innings. That will go to Corey Knebel. We'll close it.
That's what we've been doing.
You got through the tough part of the lineup at that point, so you're setting Hader up for the second half of the lineup, which should be the easier part of the lineup for Hader the next two innings. So I get the philosophy. Me, I just I want to see these starters start to go a little bit longer. And for the Brewers, going six innings is like pitching a complete game for this starting pitching staff. So that in itself was a major accomplishment. Garrett pitched really well last night. I wanted to see him go longer. And Gary and I talked earlier about Jeremy Jefferson. I'm sure that's what he'll talk about. But him only pitching one inning didn't make much sense to me either if the whole philosophy is we're going to pitch multiple innings with these guys. So I didn't quite understand that either. As far as what Craig Counsell was doing. I'm not mad at Josh Hader. I'm not mad that he put Josh Hader in. You know, Josh Hader gives up a run, whatever. I mean, it's going to happen. I'm not quite sure why he rode Albers all the way to the five runs that he rode Albers to. But I'm assuming after he gave up the home run to Rizzo, Counsell just said, well, game's over. We'll just let him finish it out now. I'm guessing that's what he thought. I have no idea for sure. So I didn't really like the way he handled the pitching staff, but we just talked about this. Everybody's going to be critical when you lose a game the way you handle the pitching staff, so why should it be any different today?
Also, Sparky, when you texted me last night, your displeasure with the fact that he pulled Junior Guerra, I mean, on paper, it looks like he faced three batters and got out of the inning. And you're always accusing me and other people who buy into analytics of just looking at numbers and making your decision based on that. Yep. And I'm always telling you that, no, you have to watch the game with a keen eye and know the situation when you're watching it. Watching that inning, Junior Guerra walks the leadoff man, which is one of the worst things a pitcher can do.
Yeah, but he had walks throughout the game. I mean,
then Rizzo hits a line drive that happened to be right at Orlando Arcia.
Whatever.
And he catches Chris Bryant off first base. Yep. And then Wilson Contreras actually hit it over the wall. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Braun made a great catch.
Who you said got it?
So, Ryan Braun.
But that was the toughest part of the order, though, Rami. The rest of this lineup is okay, but it's not. You already got through the meat of the order. At that point, it's all downhill. It wasn't like coming up in the next half inning for Junior Guerra is going to be Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo.
No, you had Kyle Schwarber waiting for you and Javi Baez and Addison Russell.
Yeah, I know.
No, that doesn't.
Nah.
You're not worried about that at all?
I mean, you are way bigger Javi Baez fan than I am.
Yeah, he leads the National League in RBI. That's why.
What's he hitting?
He's batting, let's see, 254.
Yeah.
He's slugging 522.
Right, his slugging is through the roof.
And his on base is 286.
Yeah, and that's horrible, too. I think they had some stat. Like,
I'll take that. For the power numbers he provides, I'll take that.
He's about to break a record, I think, for the worst on base percentage with a slugging percentage that high or something like that. They were talking about it on MLB Radio, but how ludicrous those numbers are.
It gets a little bit easier, but not that much easier. And I saw what Craig Counsell saw. Junior Guerra was running into trouble, and he was lucky that inning didn't develop into more than what it did.
That's fine. That's your take. So you agree with Craig Counsell?
100%.
And that's fine. I didn't at the time, and so be it.
And by the way, I forgot to mention one, probably the guy who's getting more fingers pointed at him today than anybody else, and that's Jonathan Villar for the, I don't know, did they call it an error? He missed a throw in from Lorenzo Cain from center field on a flyout when Ben Zobrist tagged up. He drops the throw when it looked like they had Ben Zobrist dead to rights, and a lot of people are killing Jonathan Villar
to
today.
A throw, though.
Yes. But it was a perfect throw.
It was.
Perfect throw. I mean, I think what Ben Zobrist was thinking there, and it's a philosophy I believe in and I talk about often here on the show, is that if the ball is in the outfield and it's going to take a perfect throw from the outfield, a perfect reception from the infielder, and a perfect tag to put down, I'll press that issue almost every time.
Every single time.
95% of the time. Yeah. The throw was perfect. Mm-hmm. He didn't receive it and put down the tag. Yeah. That was a problem, and so Ben Zobrist is safe at second and eventually scores the winning run. Is this on Jonathan Villar today, Gary? Is that where we should be pointing
Let me just say this, and this is not going to be popular for Brewer fans because I know you guys want to call in. You want to nitpick. You want to get on VR. I know some of you guys want to talk about Craig Counsell. You know what I learned last night? And it's not even really the question, but you know what I took away from that game last night?
What's that?
The Brewers are not there yet. They don't have enough players. They don't have the players to compete yet. Or they're not, the players that they do have, they're not there yet. They're not at the level that they need to be.
If they would have beat the Cubs, would you have said, they're a better team?
No, I wouldn't have.
You still would have been skeptical.
No, yeah. Because I think we've been watching it. But what ends up happening is when you just see that team where you know you need to go to that level. Now, I'm not saying the players may not be here, but they're not at that level yet. Here's what I think they need. They need a starting pitcher that Craig Counsell can be comfortable with that can go seven so he don't have to put his hands all over everything. and they don't have one of those. They probably need a second baseman, and they need a shortstop. Or the second baseman and shortstop they have now need to be better than what they are now. They're not there yet. The Cubs are clearly a better team. They just are. They got better players. And that's what happened. And they put that pressure on you for so long. Okay, who's going to make that mistake? Who's going to make that mistake? Who's going to screw up? I mean, that pressure just sits there. And it just mounts and mounts and mounts and mounts. And who's going to break? And we saw it. The Brewers broke last night. And so you're, for all of us who thought that they were there, I mean, they have made great strides, picking up Yelich, getting Kane. I mean, great. But the Brewers don't have enough yet. The guys that they have, maybe they can develop, but right now, today, they don't have enough. And I'm not the guy that's all in on Craig. Craig Counsell now, and which he will open himself up to criticism, he almost has to be the perfect coach almost every single game and hitting it just right. When to go get a guy, when to leave a guy in, who's coming in next. I mean, he is managing more than, what's your boy name over there?
Joe Madden.
He's working harder. He's working hard in Joe Madden. You know what I liken it to? And Leroy and I talked yesterday. You know what I liken it to? Paul Chris is working harder than that joker at Alabama. Doing more with less. And that's what's happening right now. And that's what you saw. I know Brewer fans ain't going to get down with it. I know that shocks you people. And I know that's going to have your eyebrows all furrowed all up.
213.
But they just don't have
he
enough.
He snuck you're, that one in.
Yeah, you're still, and we don't want to hear. But you're still in your rebuild. And when we thought, when we came into this season, we had said, okay, where will we be until we get Jimmy Nelson? And I had said this 2 weeks ago, a week ago. I said these jokers think they playing with house money right now. I think they think they're ahead of where they should be, and they are. Without your ace. So that's what I learned last night.
So you're not pointing a finger at any one person in particular or even the bullpen or
they don't have enough.
You're just saying that they're just not there.
They don't have
enough. They're not there with the Cubs just yet.
Look at what the Cubs got, man. And right, you want to poo-poo Baez all you want. That joker can flat out play, man.
Andy tweets at the Fed, tell Rami Baez doesn't lead the NL in RBIs.
Yeah, I responded to him. My
He's
bad.
He's fourth with 46. Back down to earth and won't lead that category anymore.
Yeah, he did 2 days ago. So, whatever. Sorry.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Sorry, Andy. Fine. Yeah, my bad.
Let's jump on the Cub guy today.
Semantics.
Rami, I just tell you this. Whatever you say today.
I'll be a punching bag. That's
whatever
cool.
Whatever you say
you
today.
Have to be
you better, you okay. better have you better have all your stats, all your numbers right there.
Oh, I have a real simple stat.
You know that?
I'm just
saying.
Gary, it takes.
Why are they bothering you?
Because they need to direct their anger somewhere, and I'm standing here in a Cubs hat. So it's cool.
That's not nice.
That's fine.
You have a Cubs hat when they lose.
I understand the emotion.
It ain't your fault.
Look,
it ain't your fault.
I understand the emotion.
It's okay.
And I love our listeners. So if me being your punching bag today is going to make you feel a little bit better.
You take one for the team?
I'm here for you.
My man.
All right? 414.
My man.
799.
I will ask you this.
Yes.
Do you agree or disagree what I just said?
To an extent, yes. But if we're talking about last night's game in particular, you said I better have my stats in order and everything ready to go.
No. So I don't have numbers.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you now. Look at over there.
The Brewers aren't with the Cubs just yet.
They're not.
Talent-wise. But as far as last night's game goes, it just takes one number to tell you who's to blame for this thing. One very simple number. I don't even have to dig deep into analytics. And I'll have that
hold
for
that
you
after the break.
I'll have that for you after
hold
a break.
That.
But right now we're asking you, who is last night's loss on 414-799-1250. So simple.
I can't wait for Leroy either.
You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I'll have that number. We'll hear from Leroy and we'll hear from you right after this on the Wendy's Big Show.
Help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answers that you want me to.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac on a tribute Tuesday here on the Wendy's Big Show. Why are we paying tribute to Fleetwood Mac? Danny Kirwan, the guitarist who joined Fleetwood Mac at age 18, played on 5 of the band's albums, died Friday in London at age 68. His death was announced by Mick Fleetwood on the group's Facebook page. No cause was given. Mike Clemens, who was here with us yesterday, he didn't want to do this because he said that Danny Kirwan was not there for the glory years. But we went ahead and did it anyways. So Fleetwood Mac will be bringing us out of the breaks all afternoon long. Oh, yeah. And we'll check in up at Packers minicamp coming up at about 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Right now we're asking you, who's last night's loss on? Jonathan VR, Craig Council, Josh Hader, Matt Albers. A lot of finger pointing going on today. So far, nobody's pointed a finger in the right direction. 414-799-1250.
You're right.
Or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. What's that?
I didn't want to change what I said in the meeting, but you're right. I mean, what you're going to say, well, providing you say what you said in the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't argue with what you're saying. I'm just telling you what I said was in the heat of the moment last night, Rami received my text, as did Tim Allen. So that's where I was last night. That's who I was blaming.
And by the way, I didn't realize this until somebody on Twitter just pointed it out. Garrett was due up first the next inning.
And it was
a one-run baseball game.
They pinched hit Santana, I believe, who struck out.
Yeah. I mean, a pinch hitter, I mean, it's a game of failure. So a pinch hitter has about a 2 in 10 chance of succeeding.
But I mean, you're not
pinch hitting. But he has a better chance than Junior Guerra.
Yeah, I understand. I'm going longer with my starters. I've about had my fill of this 5-inning nonsense. If you're at 72 pitches and you're in 6 innings, you're going to the 7th. That's just where I'm at right now, because we'll talk more about it at 4 o'clock.
Let's go to James on the south side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, James?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I would say the key moment was VR with that tag. I think that turned the tables. I also agree with Gary to a certain point. If they're a better team, then why aren't they blowing us out? It seems like a chess match when we play against the Cubs. It's almost like the Packers playing against the Bears. They're never high-scoring games. They're actually kind of boring to watch. I also thought that they should have left Hader in. I get nervy when they bring in Knebel. I just don't think he's got it anymore. What you guys feel about that? And that's pretty much
I don't know. Thanks for the call. I'm good on Knebel. I understand he's going to walk some guys. Walked the first guy I saw last night. I get it. So he's gonna be one of those guys that's going to stress you out every time he comes in the game. But I think Corey Knebel will be fine before everything is said and done. This whole Josh Hader 2 innings thing, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see how long this is going to last.
It's worked up until now.
I understand, but I think you're pressing your luck on this whole deal. I think one inning would be fine. Because if you pitched him one inning, then you could pitch him on back-to-back days. You can use him in multiple games. You're pitching him in 2 innings down, guess what? Now if you get up tonight, guess what? You can't use him. You don't have him.
So I know you're not knocking Josh Hader. You actually came to his defense in the first segment of the show.
No, can't blame Josh Hader.
But can I just read some mind-blowing numbers about Josh Hader that were alive up until last night? It was the second hit he surrendered to a left-handed hitter in 37 at-bats on the season.
Right.
The second hit he's allowed to a left-hander. And Jason Hayward has been awful against left-handers this year. And it was the first time in the 22 games that Josh Hader pitched that the Brewers did not win.
See, sometimes we always say it. Gary and Leroy, I think, say it too. Tim Allen says it all the time. When things are going bad, sometimes they really just go bad. Like, you can't catch a break. Things go against you. Calls go against you. And it's just hard to kind of reverse it. And in this matchup, Leroy, against this team, that's kind of what happens, is you can't catch a break against these guys for whatever the reason this year.
And I said everything was going well up until let me say this by saying that. I agree with him getting Junior, because although I'm a good
you're a fan of Junior Guerra.
Yes. But I want him in doses up to 5-6, and that's enough. Because the bullpen has always been good up until then. I did not expect for Albers to do that. I don't play the blame game. And the reason why, that doesn't make me feel good as a Brewer fan. I just want your team to win. I was looking forward to coming in here, big win, and bragging about what Ryan Braun did in the outfield. It just damped all over.
Two real good plays.
Oh, man, I thought he broke his wrist. I said, oh, that's how he out for a month.
I had the same thought.
He's out.
Yep.
Oh, he's still in there. I'm serious. That's how I am when I'm watching 8, but I'm good with that. The one or two times that counselors went to the mound. He says the gut feeling. He's been right on. And when he goes out there, and Gary's right, he has to manage a perfect game, especially against these guys. You know, guys, I'm not overly upset about them losing. Now, 1-8 against these guys, because you can play them again to get that. Every game you play could be for first place. That feels damn good to me. Because I remember playing these guys, we ain't got a chance. At the bottom of the division, down there where Cincinnati used to be, Pittsburgh and all these guys. So I'm not going to just get upset over one game. Now, what makes it a little bit more intense, because we took it, and which I really enjoyed yesterday, playing rivalries, how much you make it, you know, build it up. I'm not going at the Brewer fans for supporting their team and the Cubs people coming up buying tickets. I'm not going there. It's just America. Do what you want. It comes back to on the field. And I'm the guy that wants Hader to start. So whatever you guys, y'all convince me, y'all baseball gurus, that he's good in certain situations. So when I saw that on social media, I said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm confused. Do you want him out there or you don't? I'm confused. You want him out there against the left, righty? I don't get all that. But him and Jeffers been good. Now, who you want to put out there after that, there's the problem. And you know those guys can swing that bat, man. Rizzo at any time can change the game. We know this. And that's what Gary is saying. At any time, who with the Brewers can change the whole complexion of the game with one swing of the bat? And this is a bad time for just bad stuff around Shaw for going into this game. I asked Tim about this. He had 3 episodes of either running out or whatever. That kind of bothered me a little bit as a player, because I never wanted somebody to question whether or not I played hard or not. That would really that's almost like not even making the Hall of Fame.
That and cheating.
That really
are the two most serious accusations for me.
I don't care about that.
No, I'm just saying that's.
I'm being funny.
Doing what we do for a living, those are 2 things I don't play with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
saying a guy quit or doesn't try hard enough,
or saying a guy cheated. Yes.
Those are 2 things I don't play with unless I got a smoking gun.
Right. You got to play hard because you want the respect of your teammates. That was just some bad mojo going into this particular game. So I'm willing to give it a free pass, Steve, because I wanted to just really react a little bit different. But every time you check that game, if you're not watching every pitch, and you say, wait, Junior's still in the game. You know, it's a 1-run game, but you're up 1, you're tired or whatever. You feel good about it. He went 6 innings. Okay, great. Bring in Superman. Not Superman, Superman. Hader, Jeffries in that group. Knebel in that group. Just a bullpen. You felt like you had a good chance. But when somebody said, man, I got a text from somebody I didn't even know had my number. I got to make sure he doesn't get it again. I got to block him. But you need to look at the game. They just scored 5 runs. So I wanted to blame him, to be honest with you. But for the most part, I'm giving these guys a pass. Let's see if they come back and bounce back. I want to see how mentally tough you are now.
Ken tweets at 105.7 FM,
the
Fan. Says blame in a baseball game is never singular, and he's right about that. Any team sport, you can say that. Offense did not do enough to add runs. Perez led off the inning with a double. Next 2 batters struck out.
Yeah,
that is ultimately what it comes down to, is this offense. And I don't know why, for some reason, Brewers fans, it slips past them when it's the offense to blame. The offense was to blame for the entire collapse last year. The whole reason that the Brewers didn't win the division last year with a healthy lead was because the offense pulled disappearing
out.
But
the offense been swinging bats good.
I know, but usually when things go bad for the Brewers over these last couple of years, it's been because of the offense.
Yeah,
because they don't score enough runs. If I told the 3 of you in this room and everybody within the sound of my voice yesterday that Junior Guerra and the Brewers bullpen would hold the Cubs to 2 runs after 9 innings, you're saying they win that game.
I would feel good about it.
To score against this Cubs team,
but 2 runs.
Year.
The Cubs scored 9 runs in 4 games up there. So I would have felt good about
if
that.
If I would have told you they were up 2-1 with Josh Hader pitching in the eighth,
oh,
what would you have said?
Yeah, I'd say you're going to win.
Yes. I have a better chance of me saying I'm going to win in that scenario.
That only strengthens my case.
Correct. That's
but
what I'm
saying. The bottom line is they just didn't score enough runs. And look at look how the Cubs scored their first two runs yesterday. Mm-hmm. I know what happened in the 11th, and it started with the long ball.
Rizzo, yep.
But look how the Cubs scored their first two runs yesterday. Javi Baez draws a walk, which he doesn't do, steals second, forces a bad throw into the outfield, takes third on the bad throw, and comes around on a sack fly. It was a base hit. I'm sorry.
When things are going bad, That's exactly it.
Then,
Javi Baez starts with a walk.
Then Ben Zobrist, as I laid out in the first segment of the show, presses the issue with the outfield and with Jonathan Villar.
I don't like that guy. Can we hit him today?
It calls for a perfect play from your outfielder and your second baseman to catch him. You didn't get the perfect play. He pressed the issue. He gets to second, comes around on a base hit. Next at bat. That's small ball. And that's small ball was the only reason the Cubs were able to even stay in that game.
Luck.
And the Brewers, nope, it's small ball.
Listen
and it's pressing the issue.
Javi Baez walks how many times in a given year?
Not very often.
Right. So that inning starts because of a walk.
He's a free swinger, huh?
Yes.
As free as they come, boy.
So Baez never walks. That inning starts with a walk that never happens. You have a runner thrown out at second, and the second baseman drops the ball.
Right.
Both of those things aren't things that would normally happen on a day-to-day basis in a baseball game. So, I mean, to a certain degree, I'm not saying the walk was luck. But that's what I'm just saying. When things go bad for one team against another, this is what happens. You get crazy crap like this happening.
But if
both examples.
If the Brewers.
That's different. That's different, Steve. And you can say that the breaks and it's luck. But the Cubs put pressure on the Brewers to make those mistakes. Either they make them or they don't. Either the throw is perfect or the catch is perfect and you make it, you get the out. The Brewers, they put so much pressure on them, and that's what you saw. The Cubs made the Brewers do that. They pressed every issue, and the Brewers failed in almost every single thing that the Cubs wanted to happen. The Cubs forced them to do that. That's why I say right now it's about talent, and the Brewers are not there yet. The Cubs forced the issue, and they forced the Brewers into making those mistakes. Now, I think they learn from them because how else do you learn from that? How else do you learn? How else do you get in games and get better? The Cubs have kind of been there. They're a veteran team. Whether you like it or not, they may be younger than the Brewers, but they've been there, done it, did it. And the Brewers are on the way. And I see this all the time. We all see this in sports. The Brewers are one of those teams that are on their way trying to be what the Cubs are. They're not there yet.
And after pressing the
issue.
So
what we want to do is continue to analyze and analyze and analyze. Let's analyze VR. Let's analyze Craig Counsell. Let's analyze this.
Like you do a Packer game.
Well, I'm not bringing up the Packers right now, but you can do that.
But that's what we do for a week after a Packers game. We analyze every aspect of it.
I'm just telling you this. From my, you can analyze all you want. The Brewers are not there yet. The Cubs force the Brewers into making those mistakes that they made last night. Sometimes you do analyze it, and I don't get it. And you want to bring the Packers up as flippantly as you want, and yes, we do. And sometimes you do have to analyze, but I don't see it that way. Maybe you and all the other baseball fans see it that way. The Cubs forced the Brewers into making those mistakes last night. That didn't just happen by happenstance.
And then after pressing the issue and forcing the mistakes, they came up with just base hits. All they needed was a base hit. And they got it. The Brewers seem to be home run or bust. And that's how you end up with two runs after nine innings yesterday and lose that game. It falls on the offense. Who's last night's loss on, in your opinion, though? 414-799-1250. Or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM.
When does the lineup come out?
Should be in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Keep
we should see that.
On that. I need to see a different
Ultimately,
lineup.
It is a team game, though.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're talking about
probably see Thames everybody, tonight, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you will probably see Thames tonight.
It's a team game, but I say in football, it's a team game. I agree with you 100%, but it's one person in a helmet, and it's one person holding that bat, and it's one guy got the glove on at that time. Everybody just got to do their job.
And when you're a part of that Young Express team, there's just one person in that car. No boss looking over your shoulder, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
That's absolutely right, Rami. If you're looking for a new career, a company that's been in business over 27 years, a company that's been listed on Inc. Magazine, is one of America's fastest growing companies 7 out of 8 years. Well, you're in luck. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is growing. Now, they have an immediate need for straight truck drivers. This is not the same thing as successful transporters of expedited freight where you're your own boss. Young Express is your boss. You work for them. So you get 401k with company match. You get health insurance. You get 40 to 55 hours consistently. Stay within 250 miles of Milwaukee. Straight truck drivers, immediate need. They're looking for you right now. Must have a minimum of 1 year continuous straight truck or tractor trailer driving experience. Preferred logbook experience. Also, all dock-to-dock driving, no home deliveries. You get your own truck from Young Express. No truck jumping. Starting pay based on experience. Plus, you get vacation days and personal days as well. Apply at youngexpress.com today. John Young and his crew, great people to work for. That's youngexpress.com. J-U-N-G, express.com. Straight truck drivers, if you're out there, they need you right now. Youngexpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
We'll hit a quick break and more of your thoughts on who this loss falls on right after this on the Wendy's Big Show. Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. I think Kobe was low-key trying to put himself in the LeBron-Jordan conversation with some comments we read on the air yesterday. Didn't dawn on me till after we got off the air, but I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing. We'll get into that in the 3 o'clock hour. Right now, we're asking you, who's last night's loss on as the Brewers fall to the Chicago Cubs 7-2 in 11 innings, 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Let's go to KJ in West Dallas. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, KJ?
Hey, everything. Thanks for taking my call,
Big Show. Yes, sir. Anytime.
Listen, for me, it's a collective mindset of the Brewers and the way they approach playing the Chicago Cubs. Rami, if you remember, and you probably will remember this, it was almost a carbon copy last night's game of a game that they played last year at Miller Park where they went in extra innings. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm. I think I was there for it, if you're talking about the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and they were tied and they went in extra innings, and then all of a sudden the Cubs blew it open.
Yes.
At the end.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yep.
And it was like a 2-2 or 3-3 game, and then next thing you know it was like 9-3 by the time it was final. It's the way that they approach it. And, gee, you said something that was brilliant when your first dislocation. I realized something, that they don't have the right mindset, and they don't have enough pieces right now. And what that tells me is that they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. You know, right now they're getting – out-coached, out-played, and out-thought, you know, when it comes to the baseball. If you'd have told me that Kratz and VR were going to beat the Cubs last night with two home runs, I'd have been like, no, that's not going to happen. And, of course, it didn't happen. But they had an opportunity to, but they didn't play the small ball. They didn't think outside of the box. They had Yelich hit a double. They didn't try and get him over. They had Perez hit a double with no outs, didn't try and lay down the bunt. And it's the reluctance of Craig Counsell to think outside of the box and the inability for the Brewers to execute in those specific plays that they need to make. That's the difference between the championship team of the Chicago Cubs right now and the Brewers.
Appreciate the call, KJ. Yeah, it comes down to execution from the offense and getting that hit. I can't – now, I don't have the greatest memory, so somebody can probably come up with it. I can't remember the last time the Brewers had a big hit, like a game-changing hit, where it was either tied or they were down and took the lead. That wasn't a home run. When was the last time –
against the Cubs?
No, just period. When was the last time they came up with just a base hit when they needed a base hit in a crucial situation?
Clutch hits this year.
Again, I don't have the greatest memory. This has probably happened in the last week or two.
Braun done it 3 times.
And I'm just not remembering it. But I can't remember the last time that that happened.
Other than Braun, I don't know.
That a big hit for the Brewers wasn't a home run. It was just a base hit when they needed a base.
It wasn't a home run. Oh,
yeah.
just a flyer.
It was just a hit.
Just
they had a guy in scoring position. Yeah. It was a crucial spot, and they just got a hit. They just put the ball in the outfield.
But Steve, you tell me, I don't know if it's skewed or not, because this team ain't built for just little hits. They're going for the long ball. Especially if it's
That's
here.
My point, that's is that their long ball are bust.
Right, and that's how the Cubs are, too. They're built the same way. But, I mean, from that perspective, yeah, I don't disagree.
And the Cubs.
The reason that you added Kane and Yelich was to have more contact hitters. That was the whole point of this.
Yeah.
The Cubs have been like that in the past. This year, I don't think they're anywhere near the top of the league in home runs, but they're right up there in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, runs scored.
I haven't looked at the numbers.
They're just getting hits.
Yeah.
And I think they're a little bit better than they were last year because of that. Yeah. I know Brewers fans probably don't want to hear that, but they are probably better.
The numbers are the numbers.
A little bit better than they were last year because of that.
This last 2 week stretch, they've been playing better than they have in 2 years.
Yes.
Just in general. Because last year, they didn't play like this last year, I don't think, for very many stretches, if at all. I don't know if they ever played this well, like the way they're playing the last couple of weeks, the way they're playing right now.
If the series keeps going this way, you could probably use a beer. I suggest Beauforting. And if you don't believe me, with all that I tell you about Beauforting and how great it really is. Anthony Mandela on the other side of the glass, he knows about the greatness of Beauforting.
Cubs are ninth in the NL
in home runs. Right.
67, the Brewers are first at 83.
Which, it's not bad. But
Cardinals are third at 80.
They are not reliant on the long ball by any means. They've shown they can score runs without putting it over the fence. And I think that's something the Brewers would greatly benefit from doing. But like I was saying, if you don't believe me when I tell you about Beauforting, if you're not like Anthony Mandela and listen when I tell you about how great Beauforting is, well, how about you go and try it with a bunch of Super Bowl champion Packers? How about you go and party with the pack Friday, June 15th, and Beauforting beer in Port Washington at Cold Dock Park from 5 to 10 p.m. Hang out with Super Bowl champions William Henderson, Santana Dotson, Dorsey Levins, and more former Packers. And, of course, enjoy Beauforting beer in the Beauforting Beer Garden all night long. If you haven't heard me talk about Beauforting, it's a rare craft import made in small batches, and I'm telling you, there's nothing else like it on the market. A premium quality beer due to premium quality ingredients. Only 100% natural ingredients and fresh spring water are used in the production of Beauforting, and there are three varieties available here in the United States. You got their Pilsner. Somebody tweeted me a picture of themselves enjoying a Pilsner outside of Miller Park just early this afternoon. Tailgating has already started, apparently, and it's perfect for tailgating. It's perfect for your backyard get-togethers and your favorite beer garden because it's light, crisp, and refreshing, yet has a lot of great flavor. Beauforting fruit is also great for summertime. Made with real fruits, cherries, plums, blackberries, unlike a majority of fruit beers, which provide superior taste. And then you got the Beauforting Triple, which is strong. 8% alcohol by volume strong, yet unbelievably smooth and drinkable, which is very, very rare. It's Beauforting beer, Milwaukee's new favorite import. I always encourage you to tweet me a picture of your Beauforting at Rami is tweeting. Well, how about that picture includes a few Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers like William Henderson, Santana Dotson, and Dorsey Levins when you go party with the pack this Friday from 5 to 10 p.m. Port Washington at Cold Dock Park. That's Beauforting, Milwaukee's new favorite import. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. I don't know how I feel about the way some high school kids were treated. I'm gonna defer to the elder statesman on the Wendy's Big Show and all the guys who have kids on the Wendy's Big Show, not me, on this issue when the Wendy's Big Show returns right after this. Here on the Wendy's Big Show on a Tribute Tuesday. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. Should high school baseball players be suspended for smoking cigars? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I shouldn't say baseball players, I should just say athletes, because seven athletes at a Massachusetts high school have been suspended from postseason for smoking a cigar after graduation. The Daily Item reports six members of the Saugus High School boys lacrosse team and one member of the baseball team were suspended from the playoffs after smoking a cigar after Friday's graduation ceremony. School committee woman Elizabeth Marchese confirmed the suspensions Monday, saying the events Friday and subsequent disciplinary action are saddening for all involved. Saugus Public Schools prohibits the use of tobacco products within schools, buildings, or at school-sponsored events. The Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association also bans tobacco use. The rules apply to athletes who have graduated but are still participating in tournament games. I mean, I'm the one on the show who's always saying, you know, kids will be kids, boys will be boys. Don't come down too hard on these kids. But
yeah, rules will be rules.
I mean, the rules are as plain as can be. And I would think that those rules are probably doubled down on when you're playing any sport in high school. I'm sure your coaches and the athletic department preach, if not make. I know I had to sign something when I played high school football saying that you wouldn't consume alcohol or drugs or tobacco. I don't know if these kids did the same, but
the rules
are as plain as day. That's not something that you can do, and they did it, and the penalty is suspension, so they're suspended. Seems pretty clear-cut to me. How about you guys out there? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FM The Fan. Gary, I turn to you first on this.
I want to go to you first.
You want to go to me first?
Well, yeah, because okay. You and I have totally different views on these kind of things.
On child rearing, which I have no experience in, so you're probably right every time that we do this.
Right.
Yes.
Because you revert back how you see it when you was a kid, right?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are times my parents probably should have cracked down on me when they didn't. Like, I see the mistakes that my parents made and what it led to for me.
Did you really?
And I apply that when we have conversations like that. But also, there are things my parents did that other parents didn't, that some folks might disagree with, that I say, hey, you know what? I think it's fine what they did, and I turned out okay in some ways.
You say okay loosely, though.
I use life experience. Whether it's things that have happened in the past that I think should have happened or shouldn't have happened, I use life experience when making these types of calls on this show.
And what's your life tell you in this experience?
It's pretty plain.
Okay.
It's pretty plain to see. The rules are right there. And I don't think that smoking a cigar is the worst thing in the world for a 17, 18-year-old kid who just graduated high school, who's celebrating.
And baseball is a summer sport.
Cigars are often smoked in celebration. Tobacco's not good for you. I don't think anybody should do it. And I know people think cigars are safe, but you can get mouth cancer from cigars. So I'd advise people to stay away from tobacco altogether, but something that a lot of people do when celebrating. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that they did this, but the rules are plain as day. They are still members of these teams.
Why would you say that baseball is a summer sport?
You're still a member of the team.
So they're out of school.
You're still a member of the team.
They graduated.
Yeah, you're still a member of the team. So you're still playing for the high school.
So how do you come down on this?
I think that they got it right. These kids should have been suspended. 100%. I'm in agreement with it.
So I think you and I are going to be on the same side here.
Oh, cool.
Because
nice.
You signed the agreement.
Yeah.
Whether, there's not a gray area, but if there is a gray area, it would be that most baseball is in the summertime and school is out. And with these guys, of course, they have already graduated. But when you sign that release, you sign that release. And even if you got caught drinking, to me, it would be the same thing. If you were a senior, that's tough if you're a senior. That's it. That's how it ends for you. I would not want that to happen to my child that way.
I mean, it sucks.
If you were a senior.
Yeah.
If you were a junior, you're coming back. But if you're a senior, you're done.
Yeah. It sucks. I feel bad for the kids, but when rules are that plain, and I think this is a great lesson for those kids, when rules are that plain and you break the rules and the punishment is that plainly stated in the way that the rules are written, there's no wiggle room on this, and there's no negotiations on this. This goes back to what I always say about Pete Rose. You walk into any Major League Baseball clubhouse, and there's a sign outside that says that when you gamble on baseball, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly how it's worded, but it basically says that when you gamble on baseball, you run the risk of being banned for life. Pete Rose knew that when he made that decision, and now he's paying that penalty, and people are up in arms at Price. It's that simple.
And they send out the disclaimers for what you can and cannot take, but you still see guys flunking these PED tests because they give you the stuff that you can't take, but they think because it's you can go get it at in the mall or over the counter, it's legal. That's not necessarily so. They're saying it may be legal for other people, but you cannot take this. And if you do, you're gonna get punished for it. Now, speaking of going to high school, congratulations to Sierra. She graduated today from
Gifford. Nice. Congrats, Sierra.
That's Maria's sister, although Maria thinks she's the only child. She's not. She'll be going to Oak Creek next year. I would think they put a rule in like this, Steve, because maybe they caught kids smoking and drinking before celebrating, so they had to put a rule in. And you know how kids are. If you get together, we're going to do this. Now, I don't agree with, and this may be a little off topic, I don't know, but some of the kids were dancing when they were getting their little fake diploma thing, and teachers or administrators were physically throwing kids off the stage because they didn't want them to dance. That's
bear hugging
silly
them.
To me.
Bear hugging them and dance. Pulling them off the stage.
I think they were doing that because they can't do those moves.
Right.
You know, but as far as smoking, especially in our household, it's zero tolerance. You can't smoke and drink anyway until you move out anyway. So if I was a parent, you were a senior, and you come crying to me, hey, man, they threw me off the team. I'm suspended. Okay, what'd you do? I was just smoking some Uncle Gary's cigars that he gave me to celebrate.
Don't put that on me.
Yeah, because you have cigars
everywhere.
Don't
put my name in there.
Yep. You got them ones cost $65 a piece. No, you can't do that. You got to suffer the consequences. And Steve, you got boys. They're going to be in high school real soon, especially that little one, Logie. I don't know how you're going to handle it. He doesn't seem like the type that's a follower.
Logan.
Like,
no,
I hear the guys.
No,
we're gonna go. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he's not a follower.
No,
not worried about
so
him.
So he wouldn't do that because he would not want to talk to me after that.
This is the thing. First of all, I mean, I don't know what the high school rule is. Like in Oak Creek, you can't even vape in Oak Creek.
Can't vape.
Should do nothing.
Get kicked out. You're done. See ya. I mean, you can't do any of that stuff.
And so, that's for regular students too, right?
That's everybody.
Not just that. Yeah.
Right. And no messing around. So now we're talking about smoking cigars. First of all, you have to be 18. So if you're not 18, you should be in trouble anyhow.
Oh, so it's 18 for cigars?
And cigarettes. Yeah, 18.
Oh, I thought it was 21.
No, that's drinking.
Yeah, tobacco is 18.
Tobacco is
18. In most
really?
States. Yes.
Right. I thought.
So you have to be 18.
Well, I never
so,
smoked. I
now,
thought it was 21.
That doesn't mean that you can't turn 18 in high school. A lot of kids do turn 18 before they graduate.
Yes, they do.
So
yes,
that's different.
Do.
But as Rami stated, look, if this was the rule and you signed off on this rule, and you screwed it up, then you get what you get. Too bad, so sad.
So we're all in agreement on this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watch somebody's cool. Family's nice. Going to sue them.
What about Pete? Their,
outstanding. Why? You want me to get Pete in Arizona in? Pete, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, buddy?
Crack-a-lackin', fellas.
What's happening, Pete?
I like what Leroy brought up, too, about the PEDs and that there's, you know, whey proteins and things out there that can sometimes be spiked with things that the kids don't necessarily know aren't in it unless they're tested. First, and I know those are usually marked though if they're safe. But as far as the topic goes, I agree with you guys. It's part of the rules, and you need to follow the rules regardless if you're 18 or not, if that's in the waiver that you sign. But it kind of reminded me a little bit of things that I've seen. And again, I'm from up north in Wisconsin, so I don't know if it's any different anywhere else. I thought it was interesting. You go out and you win a championship, or you go out and you win the big game or whatever, and then you see pictures of the coaches and parents in the bar having a drink together after the game with said school-issued things on.
Oh, my.
I think that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so you go out and you have a drink after the game or something like that, and you're wearing things that represent the school. The kids can't go out and do that. I always thought that was really interesting. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen anything like that, but
I've not.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Or even just the parents. Your kids just went out and won a high school game, and now you're going to go out and booze it up with your school stuff on. That's chintzy, if you ask me.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Appreciate the call. You have seen that? Mm-hmm. You're not going to name names, though, right?
No.
I mean, I'd be okay if you did. I'm all
allegedly.
Well, because you always have those parents,
right?
The you see what I'm doing here?
Yes.
The cool parents.
Yeah.
You got the cool. You got the cool parents, and
oh, they want to be their brothers and stuff.
Yeah,
their
and that puts everybody else in a bad. It's just it puts you in a bad spot, man.
Hey, one of my friends, first time smoking a little kids tree, was with his parents.
Yeah, kids want to know why you won't be like them. That puts you in a bad spot, man.
That's not good.
I'm 38, and to this day,
are you?
Probably two or three times.
Know you were 38.
I've actually drank.
I thought he was 40.
Around my parents, like to the point of drunkenness.
Yeah,
I have a beer here and there, just to have a beer, but two or three times. Not even that. Maybe twice in my whole life at a wedding or something that I drink in front of my parents.
Rami, I'm 55. My kids have never, ever seen me drunk.
Not even at Jared's wedding?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Where were you hiding from them? Because you were feeling good that night.
But never. Never, ever.
His eyes were burgundy.
All that mule fuel you got at your house? No.
Yeah, never.
Really?
Never. And really, at Jared's wedding, I was too busy trying to keep an eye on your tail.
Oh, I shouldn't have brought that up.
He was the source of entertainment.
Wasn't he?
No, he was.
Allegedly.
That's my fault.
You walked into that one.
But all that mule fuel you got, G.E., never?
No, he tried to get it off of that.
Right? Yeah. He wants to go into Northern Brewers. Trying not to let him off so easily, but he got there. My good friends, guys, over at Northern Brewer, located in 800 Greenfield Avenue. Here's what they're going to be doing, guys. On Father's Day weekend, we're going to have a brat fry on Saturday. Mm. They'll be brewing out in the parking lot and serving up brats in the store. Everyone who attends will receive 15% off their entire purchase. We have also lowered all of our kegging system prices for the summer as well. Go check my good friends out over at Northern Brewer, located on Highway 100 and Greenfield Avenue, where you can become your own brewmaster.
I think Kobe was low-key trying to put himself in the LeBron-Jordan conversation with some comments I read on the air yesterday. I didn't realize it until I got off the air, but I'm pretty sure that's what Leroy's boy was doing. We'll ask you right after this on the Wendy's Big Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.